Ghost stories are always scarier when they're told by the very people who experience them. Hi, I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we're the hosts of the Homespun Haints podcast.
We talk to people just like you who have come face to face with ghosts, demons, haints, and other strange paranormal phenomena. All of it makes for a chilling good time.
So grab yourself a sweet tea, turn off the lights, and listen to some eerie, true ghost stories on Homespun Haints, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not scared. Are you?
Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us again. This week, we discuss the Dead Files episode Taken, which is season 10, episode 1. And I chose this because it takes place in New Jersey. And I was hoping that there was a lot of accents, New Jersey accents, Joyzy. That's so hard for me. Joyzy. There weren't, though. Spoiler alert.
No, they spoke normal.
They sounded normal. But it was a great episode.
It was a good episode. It was a tough episode.
It was a very tough episode.
Content warning. I was a little afraid that Megan was going to call me and say, we can't do this one after we started watching it. But I'm like, I already did this transcript.
I know. That's what I almost did. But I was like, she put so much work into it. So we have two death by suicides, child death murder by their mother.
Yeah. There's a lot of suicides.
There's
just
a lot of
suicides. In that Hungarian family, there's three.
Yeah.
And then we have the two, or the one mother on top of that. So that's four.
And then the child death by their moms.
Yeah, two different stories about child death. So
love that for us.
Yeah, that was a little tough.
If that's something that's upsetting for you, the majority of it is talked about in the second segment of Digging Through the Archives.
Yeah.
So... you might
so you can skip past if you get to that part. You can just, I'll make sure the chapter notes are in there. Mm-hmm. And that way you should just, when you fast forward on your player, it'll just fast forward all the way to the reveal. We do talk about it in the reveal too, but not in depth.
Not
we don't really go
much.
In depth anyway, but it is talked about. So
because Megan couldn't do that.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't like that either. It's a good face.
All right. Thank you. I tell you, every time I talk about this, I'm like, if John and I ever break up, that'll be my dating profile pic.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I will not be dating again.
Oh, we should do a squad shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that in between. All right. We're going to go record the sideshow now. So hope you enjoy this episode.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Taken, which is season 10, episode 1. Original air date was June 15th, 2018, and Megan is here with your overview. Take it away.
Thanks, Amy. We have Jen, her husband Gary, and their five children who are living a nightmare. Invaded by shadow people, they feel their house and their lives are in danger. Their oldest son, Joseph, is not himself, and Jen and Gary fear possession. Their youngest daughter, Samantha, seems to be heading down that path as well. The family has been scratched, pushed, strangled, and more, and Jen fears that these entities want more than just to scare them. She's worried that they want blood. Digging through the archives, Steve finds multiple death by suicides and murders, a family decimated by financial ruin, and a variety of mothers who take the lives of their children. During her walk, Amy encounters a man who cannot stand still and who doesn't even know he's dead, and that is very concerning. He is able to influence electronics and also people's emotions. Additionally, when people are around him, they may also be affected physically by dizziness, nausea, and a whole other variety of issues. Amy also discovers demons and figures out that they have targeted the two children, Joseph and Samantha. Will Jen and her husband be able to save their children and their house? Or will Amy say it's too dangerous and they need to leave? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues.
Very nice.
Yeah.
This was tough. There were some real tough parts.
Yes, and I did not know that before picking it. I was not prepared for this. It was really good.
It was a really good episode.
And Jen and Gary are probably two of my favorite people.
Yeah, I really liked them too.
I loved them.
Yeah, I did too.
So
and the kids too. I mean, there was just a really sweet family.
Honestly, Joseph, we'll get to it. It was very good.
Yeah. When I, the way that I do this for prep is that I probably illegally, but it's fine. I don't keep it. Record the episode. So I play the episode on my computer on Macs and I record it in Audacity. Mm-hmm. And then I take that MP3 that I make and I run it through a transcription service so that it does a transcript. So basically I have it playing on my computer, but I'm doing other things. I'm not really paying attention.
Sure.
Because I'm just recording it. Mm-hmm. And then in this scene where Steve was talking to the teenage boy.
Yeah.
Joseph. And he was talking about how worried he was for his sister. I was like, oh my God, I love him.
I know.
And then when I watched it again, I was like, because then they were calling him like the shitty teenage asshole or whatever, because emotional dysregulation or whatever. And so I was like, then when it came to that scene again, and I was like, this is the kid they were saying is, because he seems so sweet.
Right.
So then that some weird shit's going down.
I was just going to say that's probably how they knew.
Yeah,
because my guess is that's his normal.
Yeah.
Is like sweet, caring. Yeah. I mean, he's the oldest of five, including a set of twins. So he probably feels, responsible for his siblings.
Yeah.
And we'll get to him. You're going to love him, listeners. Yeah. Like, you are going to be
a real
Team
sweetie.
Joseph. He is. So we started Mawa, New Jersey.
Mawa. Yeah, it looks like Mawa if you look at it quickly. But whenever they said that, all I could think of is Mawage. So every time he would say something about Mawa, I'd go, Mawage.
That's a Princess Bride reference if you kids are too young to understand that.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson. Isn't that Rowan Atkinson? No, it's not.
No,
it's
no, it wasn't Rowan Atkinson. But if you haven't seen The Princess Bride, finish this episode and then go watch it, because
post-haste.
Robin Williams, Carrie Elwes, Robin Wright. No, not Robin Williams.
Robin Wright, yeah.
Thank you, Robin Wright. Billy Crystal. Mm-hmm. I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
Yeah, her. Carol Kane.
I don't know her name. Yeah.
Carol Kane. God, there's so many good people in that.
Oh, God, it's so good. The art. So many please, good you have to
gotta go see it.
Finish this first because this is importanter.
Yep,
importanter.
That's a word. Look it up.
It's a word. Look, I have an English degree. It gives me carte blanche to make up words. It's in the fine print.
Yep.
So we are five words in and we have already gone on a tangent. So going great, everybody.
We're a little bit more awake today. It is 11 a.m. on a it's Memorial Day that we're recording this. And we normally do record on Mondays, but we normally record in the evening. And Megan has plans this evening. So
what?
I know.
Did you say that right? No, listeners, you heard that. I am going to the championship of the Frost, the Minnesota women's hockey team. So
sweet.
I'm super excited.
That'll be fun.
I am wearing red right now for our shirt, but I was told explicitly by my friend to not wear red because I assume that's the rival team's colors.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
I have to wear purple. I don't know if I have anything purple.
Well,
I mean,
just don't
that
wear
I
red.
Could wear to a hockey game.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, five words in, everybody.
Let's start over.
We're starting over. That's rewinding.
Rewind, yeah.
We're in Mahwah, New Jersey. And the reason I chose this is I was hoping we get some really good Jersey accents.
Yeah.
We did not.
No, we didn't. No.
It was very sad, but it's fine. Okay. So it's a suburb 45 minutes northwest of New York City, which I, okay, American education failed me because I really thought New Jersey was south of New York.
Oh, I've never thought about where. I just knew it's near.
Like, I thought it. Touching. You went down. I thought you went down to New Jersey. I did not know you went up. So we're starting off strong. And we get a call from Jen. And of course, if Amy and Steve can't help, somebody's going to get seriously hurt.
That's right.
That so should mark be on that your off card. Your bingo card. Yes, yep. Exactly. So before Amy arrives, we get mad. I sweep the house, family photographs. And I will say, I don't know if they just included more shots of this in the episode or if I just noticed, but there were a lot of things that he covered up with bags.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
When Amy was walking, I noticed he put garbage bags over a lot of like.
Oh.
So I don't know if they just included it or if this family just had a lot more personal stuff. I would go with the latter because they seemed like a very close-knit family.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's that. But Amy gets in, she starts her walk, and immediately it's not good. She's getting feelings like unsettled emotions, nervous, worried, stress. Then she said she wants to run away, and I don't like this. And I'm like, well, shit, we're two minutes in, and Amy's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
So it's you already know it's going to be a doozy of a walk for Amy.
Yeah, and,
for bless her heart.
I know.
So then we meet Jen, and you guys, she is going through it.
Mm-hmm.
She said she feels like they're in a living hell. There's a very aggressive activity. And she thinks it's going after her and her kids, which we find out is spot on.
Yeah.
You know, she already starts crying. And I just like, and it's not it's the cry of like somebody who has nothing left in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's been beaten down by this, you know? I just felt so bad for her.
And Steve was really sweet with her. So, called her hon a couple of times.
I know.
Which
no handkerchief, but her voice just broke and got watery, but she didn't actively cry. So
right.
I feel like that's probably that's why.
Yeah, no hanky. But I feel like also, especially when Steve said, well, that's why I'm here, honey. And she said, I know. I felt like she was like, thank God I finally have help. Like finally there's some hope that, you know, something. We're going to get to the bottom of this. I can kind of turn it over.
Yes.
That's the feeling I got when they were talking to her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, you know what? I was wrong. I said there's five children. There's four. So
okay.
You've got Joseph, 15. The twins, Ryan and Michael, are 13. And Samantha is 6.
Right. And so, they did not interview the twins. We didn't see the twins at all. I forgot all about them, actually. And when you said there were five kids, I'm like, oh, that's right. There were other kids.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So I don't know if they didn't I would assume they didn't interview them because nothing either happened to them or they just didn't want to be on camera because.
Yeah. They could have been that. Or maybe they interviewed them and the producers didn't find it was that interesting.
Yeah, any of those. So some of the things they're experiencing, disembodied voices, shadowed figures, objects moving on their own, health of the family's declining, and they're physically attacked. And Steve asks if everybody's being affected, and she said yes, but Joseph, the 15-year-old, is getting the biggest, the brunt of it. So mm-hmm. she really feels like it's targeting him. He's lashing out. And here's where we talked about at the top of the recording. He's doing things that aren't in character for him. It's normal teenage stuff. Not normal teenage stuff. And mm-hmm. so that's when Amy with the curly hair, was saying, you know, it's not normal. Like, this is the person they were talking about because the way they describe him mm-hmm. is angry.
I expected him to be, really aloof and
like
snotty
to Steve. Like a sullen teenager.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but he was the complete opposite. And so that's when we, you know, Jen's like, I think that there's like something holding on to him or possessing him or something. Additionally, you know, then we go back to Amy. She's still outside. She sees a male outside, an entity, very confused, pacing and running. He also makes the living feel anxious. And this is where we find that he can affect electrical stuff. He has a lot of energy. And so the living would see shadow figures and they'd see like a shadow moving by, which we, you know from Jen that that's what they see. I mean, the way that she made it sound was like daily occurrence, like wake up, get your coffee, shadow figure. Come home from
work.
She sees
him running all over the house.
Get dinner, shadow figure. Like it's like another member of the family almost, you know, a relative that moved in that you don't want to leave or that won't leave.
Yeah.
So we're in the living room, and again, shadow figures coming up and down the stairs. She sees him outside. Steve said, is this the only spot that you see him? And she said, no, I see him outside. I see him all over the house. She describes a shadow figure that she sees by the fence outside, just like watching them. Oh, thanks.
That's very creepy.
I would not let, I do not subscribe to this. Mm-mm, please, please, please don't do that to me. Thank you so much. Then we get physical. Jen is at the top of the stairs. I felt a hand on my back and I got pushed. And then Steve, of course, is like, hey, show me. How would you get pushed?
Yeah. That'll be on the bingo card too.
Sir.
Hi, Marshy. Megan's cat. We just got a butt shot.
We got it. So sorry, you guys. All right. So Steve's like, how hard'd you get pushed? And she's like this. And she pushed him. And Steve's like, okay, you're getting shoved. And you have a 6-year-old. Who's to say that can't happen to her? And I'm like, Steve, I know, I'm sure she's already thought of that. But let's, even on the off chance that she hasn't, how about we don't put ideas into her head that may not already be there?
Right.
Because I'm sure she's thought of that before. But if not, like,
as a mother, I'm sure she has.
Yeah. So then we're back to Amy, and she's like, this guy's energy is bad. She feels dizzy. She's worried about the living accidentally falling. And then she goes, I would be worried about the living falling. And then Matt goes, any idea what kind of effect he might be having on the living? I'm like, Matt.
Didn't I just say that? Did Matt?
She's like, Matthew, I just said that. No, she said, I think they'd feel drained. They would feel exhaustion. Then we're in the master bedroom and Steve's like, what's going on in here? And again, you know, Jen is like, whatever's here is draining my energy. She said, I can't sleep at night and then I can't wake up in the morning. Everything hurts on her. She gets fevers. Everything is sore. Her muscles, her everything. And Steve's like, so what makes you think this is paranormal? Which is a good question.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and she said, medically, they can't find anything wrong. And I'm like, there it is.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a Golden Girls episode where Dorothy is super tired all the time and she goes into a couple of doctors and they're like, you're just old. Like, you're just getting older.
Typical.
And then she was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw the doctor out eating and she said, just so you know, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, and she like let him have it.
Good.
Dorothy.
Yeah. Women are so often told that we're making it up or we're being hysterical or whatever.
Or we're overweight. We need to lose weight or is it your time of the month?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically they can't find anything wrong with her. And then she starts talking about how her and her husband fight all the time. He's more nasty. He's mad. He's aggressive. And, you know, I will say Steve, he's like, couples fight, you know? And I'm like, Steve, that's fair. And she's like, it's not normal fights. We're like soulmates. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, if that's what you guys believe and have experienced, who am I to say no, you know? And so then, of course, Steve is like, I'm afraid to even ask. Bingo card. Anything else? And she's been bruised in the middle of the night. She wakes up with them and she's like, they're like 3 fingerprints, which number 3 is always scary when we're dealing with paranormal. And Steve goes, how do you know your husband's not rolling over and banging into you? Steve,
with
how do you
sleep? Marks.
How do you sleep where you bang into people?
Need this a bigger bed if you're banging into people.
No kidding.
Not on purpose, that is.
Right.
I mean, banging goes on in bed sometimes. Yeah. But.
And you know, what if that's what you want, then good for you. But this is during sleep.
Yeah.
Banging into people. Okay. So then we're back to Amy. and she sees an older woman. She's trying to strangle somebody. The living here are absolutely in a lot of pain. And this woman died from an infection. So she said, Amy said, I don't know if somebody keeps like getting infections all the time, but she's cutting people. I see her putting nails and I see her touching a baby's belly. And that makes me nervous. No, thank you. I don't like that. And then Matt says, why is this woman doing this? And Amy Allen says she wants the living out of here because she feels like they brought the evil in.
And then I was worried that that meant that they were doing Ouija boards or seances or something like that to bring them in.
Which is a valid, they don't seem like it.
But they don't, they didn't seem like.
They're doing kitchen magic and writing in blood on the walls. Right. Like they're not.
They're definitely not doing that. So,
Or 17 seances.
Right. Right. I mean, maybe maybe the kids did a seance or something. Or
maybe.
A Ouija board or something. But they never talk about that. They never say that that happened.
No. So then we meet Gary, Jen's husband, and he basically seconds everything she said, that it's going after their kids. Mm-hmm. And here's where Gary really talks about the electrical experiences they're having. Lights are turning on when nobody's home. Television's coming back on when there's no one to turn them on. And then he said something that's really scary. He said things that are plugged in will start smoking and burst into flames. And I'm like, that's really scary.
Very dangerous.
And, you know, Steve's like, well, is there an issue with the electrical here? And client Gary said, nope, all the electrical's been upgraded from the panel right to the fixtures. And I'm like, and Amy even was like, okay, but like, how?
Maybe you hired a bad contractor. I mean, that's happened. Or God forbid, took it on yourself. I mean.
That reminds me of the TikTok voiceover where it's a man, an electrician at a house, and he sees like horribly bad wiring. And the older woman is like, my grandson did it. And the electrician's like, oh, cool. When did his house burn down? And she's like, oh, last summer. Wait, why do you ask?
How did you know?
Just a hunch. So then Gary talks about a shadow figure held him down in bed. Yeah. And Steve's like, what'd you do? Well, Steve, I picked up a book and I was like, I guess I'll just read for a minute while, you know, this is here. But Gary said he couldn't do anything. So it kind of almost, I've had this multiple times throughout my life where you wake up and you can't move.
Sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. So I wonder if it's that.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not paranormal, but there are explanations for that happens.
For that.
And it is very fucking scary. Your brain hasn't caught up with the other part of your brain that is now awake. And
trying to move, you're trying to scream, you're trying to do anything, and it just can't work. So.
Yep.
So then Steve asks Gary, well, you know, what about the changes in your son? And here's also, too, where we get this. You know, Gary says he lashes out at my wife for no reason. He physically attacks other children. And Steve's like, teenagers are jerks. Could it be that? Which, fair. Like, teenagers are dicks.
Yeah.
But no, after meeting this kid, these are two completely different children.
Right. It's hard for me to even imagine Joseph doing these things that, I mean, I believe them. I'm not saying they're lying. But it's really hard to piece that together when you look at the scene with Joseph and Steve talking.
100%. And then what Gary said that really gave me chills was like, he said his son has like an evil smile. And he said, I hate to say my son was possessed, but it almost gave me that impression. And, you know, I mean, that's scary. Especially, again, I know like I keep referencing this, but when you see Joseph and it's like, there's no way that is the same person. So we're back to Amy, and she said, I'm feeling a paralysis thing, somebody having that happen to them, can't move. And then she says, I'm seeing these little black shadow things, small black shadow things. And Matt goes, well, do you have any idea what they are? And Amy said, I think they're some kind of demons. She said, these evil little things are in the master bedroom or what? I think they're
in the bedroom.
I think they're in the bedroom. Yeah. They're trying to take over because the evil is in them. And I was like, oh, shit. We got demons. We got demons.
We got demons.
Demons.
Check that off your bingo card.
Check it off your bingo card. Then Amy goes, ooh. And Matt's like, what's going on? And she goes, she's holding her stomach and like kind of bent over in pain. Mm-hmm. And she goes, something just hurt me. It felt like I got jabbed. And I'm like, great. I don't like that. Because now it's like physically attacking Amy.
Yeah.
Then here's where we see Joseph. And like, he's just the sweetest. Mm-hmm. He talks about what he's experiencing. He agrees. He said, when I go out of the house, he's like, nothing bothers me. But when I'm in here, somebody could do something so insignificant and I just lose it. He just gets like super enraged. Mm-hmm. And he's seen shadow figures his entire life. He said, for 15 years, I've seen shadow figures, and he's 15 years old.
Yeah.
Steve's like, what do they look like to you? And he said, they have oddly shaped heads, tentacle-like arms. And Steve's like, oh, that's a new one.
That's new on me.
Yeah.
And I wonder, does he win a prize for being the first one to see oddly shaped bodies with tentacle-like arms?
Yes, he does. It's called possession. That's what he wins. Free possession.
Yep.
He also has vivid nightmares.
That's in quotes. Yeah. I mean, it's not, but that, you know, whenever someone says, I'm having these horrible nightmares, I'm always like, but are they nightmares?
But are they nightmares?
What are they?
How many times do people have nightmares and they're being abducted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times in this show series alone?
Yep.
So then he wakes up because Steve asks him to describe it. And he goes, sometimes I wake up and something's trying to get me. And I'm like, okay, but that's like the opposite of a dream. Like that's the real life. And Steve's like, can you describe what this looks like? And Joe's like, I don't know if it's a demon, but it sure looks like a demon. You know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and
acts
like a duck and waddles like a duck. I don't know. I added a few things to that. He's woken up with scratches and bruises on his arms. Uh-huh. I will say, I thought it was interesting, and I'm not discrediting them in any way because I 1,000% believe them. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that they didn't have any pictures of this. Because we had Jen earlier, who had the three bruises. We've got Joe, who gets scratched.
I would usually be taking pictures if it were me.
Yeah. And here we go. So Steve's like, you're the oldest. I mean, you got younger brothers and sisters. Are you worried about... Here's where Steve's like, you worried about your brothers? And I'm like, Steve, how about his sister?
Yeah.
Misogynist. And Joe's like, I'm really worried about them. And he's concerned about his sister. And he almost starts crying because he's like, sorry, I just don't want to see her be affected in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Amy and I are like, we cannot wrap our heads around this person being an asshole. Because like...
Right.
He's like not even concerned for himself at this point. He's like, my younger sister who's 6.
Yeah.
We need to keep her safe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just so heartbreaking. And then Amy, I think she's in Joe's room.
Yeah.
And here's where I saw all the bags and stuff.
Oh.
And so she's saying somebody here is getting influenced. And she said these things want to take over. And she said it's not like a subtle influence. It's like a big change. Like they want to make him change completely, a personality change. Mm-hmm. And she said, I think the living are thinking it's nightmares, but it's not nightmares. Mm-hmm. And then they want to take over this kid and they want to possess him.
Yeah.
So then we get to Samantha. Oh my God. Cutie. She has a flannel on, just like a plaid shirt, just like her mom did. And that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh my God, her mom made her dress like her, but in like the cutest way. Like they're similar, but it wasn't the same.
I didn't even notice that they were similar.
Oh my God, I did.
I just noticed that she looks a lot like her brother.
Oh my God, she does look like Joe, like a girl version of him.
Yep.
She's 6. She's the cutest little button in the entire world.
She is.
And so Steve is like, I was talking to mommy and she said there's scary stuff going on and you know, and Steve said, can you tell me about anything that might have scared you? And she's like, I see shadow figures. They're on the wall. They're black. And then one of them like leaves and they disappear. And Steve said, he's like, okay, does anything else scare you? And she said, I saw a ghost bear.
I know.
And I was like,
that's new too, isn't it?
It is new, but it's better than a ghost shark.
It sure is.
You have to listen to previous episodes to get that. And Steve's like, how big was he? And she's like, he's up to like the table. So like the dining room table. Mm-hmm. And she said, I heard steps and saw the bear walking like tiptoeing. And then I ran back to my room, which brave for her that for running to her room. I would have ran to my mom. I'd have been like, Mom, there's a ghost bear.
Yeah.
And so she said, so Steve's like, oh, so are you afraid to be in the house? And she nods. And I'm like, oh my God, sweet little Babu.
I know.
So sweet. So then Amy, we're back with Amy. She's like, I don't like this. This is bad. She doesn't know why the demon things are there, but they're there. And they're messing with a kid in this room and they're in Samantha's room. And she keeps hearing hurting the baby. They're being like taken over. And this kid is like completely possessed.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe Brittany's dad would write a book about it.
Only if there's kitchen magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, blood on the walls.
And blood on the walls.
But not in my handwriting.
We don't write. But we don't write it.
Right.
So, yeah, they end the first segment with Samantha. Anything else I missed or that you want to touch on?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
So then segment we're in segment two, digging through the archives. Mm-hmm. And so, Steve, I think this is so funny because whenever I get into town, the first call I make is to the local police chief. But how many times in previous episodes was he like, oh, the local police chief reached out to me? Just out of, like AP says, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
The police chief
I just
like,
sensed that Dead Files was coming to my town. I thought I better give him a jingle.
I better give him a jingle jangle. Yeah. This particular segment, the Digging True, has a lot of child death by
murder. This is tough.
Murder.
This is really tough. So, and if you want to, I am totally happy just glossing over it. We don't have to get into any details if you don't want to, Megan. It's not that important that we go into all these things that happened. So
I'll just touch on it, but
I'll let you do what you want.
That's really tough for you as a listener. I would recommend
just
possibly skipping to the reveal because, I mean, honestly, two of the three cases we talk about are child death.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Moving on. Great. So there's a horrible murder-suicide on Jen's property in the 1930s. So there's a, we meet Chief James Battelli, and there's a pond that used to be part of the property, and it's a very weirdly shaped pond.
It looks almost like it's got a square end. Like, it looks bigger than an actual square, but the part that we see, it's like very cut off. It's not rounded like a natural pond is usually round, you know, because it's water that's filled a hole.
Right.
But this, it's cut like it was man-made.
I bet it was, because you don't see a lot of, I mean, it's in the 1930s. Maybe they, you know, got an idea to buy some fish and put the fish in there to have food. You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. So the pond is part, back in the 1930s, this pond was part of a huge dairy farm. It was part of the estate. And so the first woman, Bertie Wells, she was a neighbor of people that own this property. So on October 5th, 1937, she took her 3-year-old son, John, for a walk. And okay, I have to gloss over this. She committed suicide and killed her child.
Yeah. And her son were both found dead in the pond.
In the pond.
Yeah.
My thought, you know, postpartum psychosis, I don't know how long that lasts. He was 3. But if she hadn't been treated for it, you know, because in the we don't recognize PPD and PPS until very recently.
Yeah.
Within,
oh, in the 30s, they didn't know it existed.
No.
Yeah.
You know, so could that be?
Yeah.
So then we go to Amy and she sees a woman in her 30s or 40s, white female, face down, blonde hair, and she's liquid. She said she doesn't have any bones.
Yeah.
And she said this feels very recent, the 1920s or 30s. And she felt despair and then she felt a broken heart. So that's kind of what makes me think, could this have been some mental issue that made this woman kill her child? Yeah. I would hope so. She was a mother and she said she kept seeing her over a baby. And the older woman saying, it's not my fault, not my fault. But she
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just, when she said the older woman keeps saying, not my fault, I'm like, who's the older woman? I don't remember there being an older woman. She's talking about this young woman that she saw that she thinks was 19 or so. And the mom in real life was 41. But so is the older woman the birdie? Or I don't remember her mentioning two women. Because she says, I see this one leaning over her baby, infant crying, and the older woman says, it's not my fault. So that sounds to me like she's talking about two women, two different women.
Oh, I see. I didn't get that. She said it's a white female. She's face down. She was a mother. Oh, I must have misunderstood it.
Well, this one says, I'm seeing this other woman. She might be in her 30s or 40s.
There it is. Yep. I'm seeing this other woman. Oh,
but then where was it where she talked about the...
At the top.
When she talked about the 19-year-old.
Yeah, that was at the... Now I remember. I thought it was in this specific segment. No, it was at the top. She talked about a younger one.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's where we're at with that. So then we go back to Steve. So far, I've got a family being attacked, horrible murder, suicide. I got to see if there's anything else. Because that's not enough. Mm-mm. Steve, we need more.
But if Amy can't tie it to something, then we can't use it for the show. So,
yep. All right, so then searching through old records, we got a Hungarian count, very royal, who died by suicide next door to Jen and Gary's house. So now we go to a local historian, says that it was a combination of a lost fortune, mental illness, booze, oh my. I will say, I thought it was really funny. So leading up to the meeting with Amanda Green, we show Steve drone shot of like slow-mo walking into this bar. I'm like,
yeah,
of all the scenes you were gonna do, you slow-mo'd him walking into a bar.
Yeah,
but you know, it's funny. So Steve's like, I've done over 140 of these cases. I've never come across European royalty. So the guy's name was Rudolf Palfy, and the Palfy family was quite wealthy in the 1800s in Hungary. But in 1873, Rudolf's father declared financial ruin. And because of that, he commits suicide. Mm-hmm. So then Steve, in his ever sensitive way, goes, oh, so his dad's dead. Now what? I'm like, okay, Steve. So Rudolf goes to France to live with his brother Arthur, thinking Arthur may have some money from the family because Rudolf is used to this lifestyle and can't fathom not living this lifestyle that he's been accustomed to.
Right.
Turns out, though, that Arthur doesn't have any money. Uh-oh. And in 1889, so just 16 years later, Arthur followed his father's footsteps and dies by suicide.
Yep. Both of these were gunshot.
But gunshot wounds. Yes, takes a pistol and shoots himself. Yep. So then Rudolf ends up marrying his late brother Arthur's girlfriend, Rosalia Zimmerman.
And this made me wonder if these shootings were really suicides. I don't know why, but just the fact that he took the guy's, his brother's girlfriend, makes me think that maybe he had something to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then maybe it's something to do with his dad's death, too. Who knows? It just seems weird that everybody shot themselves in the head.
Yes. Now, the worst part of this tragedy is that Rosalia is, oh my God, she's a commoner.
Yeah.
She's not even royalty.
No, I know. And not only that.
Oh my God. Not only that, she was Jewish. Nope. So he was a Catholic from Hungary and she was Jewish, likely Jewish, they say.
Based on her last name, Zimmerman.
Based on her last name. So there were probably religious issues as well. So the family, his family is like, this is bullshit. She's not even a fucking royalty and she's Jewish. I can't do any of this. So he decides, Rudolf decides to come to America and see if he can get a fresh start. And Steve asked, how does this kid, he's probably not a kid, end up in Mawa? And that's when she's like, well, he comes to America to get a fresh start.
Yeah, I'm like, that didn't answer the question.
Didn't answer any part of the question.
He wanted to know how he got to Mawa.
Yeah.
Like, why Mawa?
Mawaj.
Mawa.
Such a good scene.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break.
Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues.
Okay, so then he got to Mawa in 1891, takes up residence with his wife, his deceased brother's former girlfriend, in a small cottage, and they had $5,000 when he arrived, which in 2018 is about $140,000. But in 2025, how much is it, Amy?
It is now $175,713.74. So in just... What? When was this? 2018 this came out?
Yes, 2018.
So six years?
Yep.
It has gone from $140,000 to $175,000 plus.
$35,000.
That is...
And then he went through it in a year.
Yeah.
But like, on like, probably wouldn't be that hard.
I could do it, you know.
I mean, I don't know what houses were back then, but here, if you had $175,000, if you bought a house... Boom, yeah. It's all gone.
Yeah. And that would be a pretty small house.
That would be a tiny house. Where we live.
Yeah.
You, I mean, here, that amount of money, that's basically like a studio.
Yeah. It would like be 600 be a small house.
Square feet, honestly, from what we've seen at that price point.
Yeah.
Oopsies. Is like a studio house.
Yeah. You could get, it'd be more like a condo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... This guy, again, Rudolph, now eventually dies by suicide.
Yep.
He's out drinking in 1893, according to newspaper articles. He's drinking with the locals. He gets home and in a huge argument with his wife. Gets in a huge argument. And then he, remember, she's Swiss. He says, "I love you dearly, but Switzerland cannot rule Hungary." And then he takes a pistol and dies by suicide because he got in a fight with his wife and was so, based on what I interpreted it as, was so afraid of her being right or ruling him that he would rather be dead than that happen.
And I didn't think of this at the time, but he was drunk.
Yes.
What if he was, you know, talking like a drunk person where you can't understand them, and all she heard was hungry, and maybe he just was hungry and drunk?
Maybe. Because I don't think, that's a really good point, Amy, because I, and I'm American, so I don't know a lot, but I don't think Hungary and Switzerland have the same language.
Well, yeah, no, well, Switzerland, I think they speak a bunch of different languages depending on what part, but I think they mostly speak French.
But Hungary, I don't know if they speak French.
No, they don't. They speak.
I think they speak Hungarian.
Hungarian, but it's like a German type language, isn't it? Isn't it more of a German?
Yes, I think it is more of like a, Germanic.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Anyway, I just was
here's
like,
our history
what if he wasn't really
you?
Yelling about Hungary to her taking over? Because maybe there's more to this. Obviously, there's more to the story, but I will say the article that they show, the headline is "A Kiss, Then a Bullet." And I thought this was very dramatic for this.
Yes.
But newspapers did do that back then. They flourished everything.
Well, they still do it now. I mean, that's how you got to get people to buy.
Yeah.
So then we're back to Amy, and she sees the crazy guy running around again, the one who can't sit still, doesn't know he's dead. And Matt asks her to describe him, and she said he's not. She's like, I don't feel that he's more than 30. He was mentally ill. He's got soot or burns on his face, which is indicative of shooting, gunpowder residue. And she says, she keeps hearing, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. He felt trapped and overwhelmed. So we're back to Steve, and he's with Amanda, the historian, and they're talking about Rudolph still. And so his father and brother die by suicide. He comes here, has money issues, dies by suicide. What happens to the wife? And Amanda's like, she's distraught, left penniless
and alone.
Ends up with nothing. And I'm like, I don't know what's worse, being penniless or alone for a woman. Probably alone, because how would she function without a man?
Yeah.
She couldn't do anything.
Although, just back then, existing. Yes. Now, if you've got money.
Oh, the dream.
You can just hire people to do all this stuff. You don't
need a man.
That's right.
So now we're back to Amy, and she said, I'm getting a connection between this crazy guy and the nasty old woman. And, from what you said earlier, Amy, could the nasty old woman be the 41-year-old mom who killed her son?
I think it must be. And I thought she, but then I don't remember who the 19-year-old is.
Right.
So I'm confused.
But then Amy said, there's friction. He's afraid of her. And she's extremely religious. I saw her praying. She lost all her money and now she's mad. Her husband died. So then Amy thought, well, it's Rosalia, the brother's girlfriend who Rudolph married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're with the local sheriff. No first name. I thought he looked like a Bob.
Sure.
I feel Robert. I'm getting Robert vibes from him.
Okay.
So great. Another mom killing her kids.
Yep.
I hate everybody in this story.
We can just gloss over
basically
this one.
Oh my God. I will say at least, I don't know. So a mom killed four of her kids down the street from Jen's house. And you're like, oh my God, why would she do that? Let me tell you, it's really great. So the couple was Kenneth McDonald. He was 32 and his wife Carol was 29. This is 1953. She was a stay-at-home mom caring for their four children. Mm-hmm. Somehow, Kenneth discovers that Carol was cheating on him and having an affair.
Yeah. I'm wondering how she found the time.
Right.
With
exactly.
Raising four children.
Kids. Yeah. So he left the house and filed for divorce. And Carol's like, fuck this. I'm going to retaliate. So what does she do? In 1953, she wakes up her four children after midnight, puts them ranging from 2 years old to seven, put them in the garage car, turned the car on, and came back inside. Mm-hmm. She went into the house and she wrote six separate suicide letters. Took her 2 hours to write these letters. These children are in that car getting asphyxiated, and I don't know a lot about this, but I was under the impression that when it's carbon monoxide, which is what she did, you just kind of go to sleep.
Yeah, I think so.
So
yeah.
At least
they probably didn't know what was going on. I don't know why. Wait, how old was the oldest kid? Seven?
Seven.
I would think a 7-year-old would know how to unlock the garage, the car door and get out.
Unless mom told him not to.
Yeah.
And he's going to listen to mom. He's seven.
Maybe.
So she went back and...
I'm confused why she wrote six letters when there's four kids and her. That's five. Was she planning on killing the husband too?
My thought was she was writing drafts. So I don't think she wrote six separate letters. My thought, and I could be wrong.
Suicide letters.
Right. But my thought is they were drafts. Like six separate drafts of... That's what I thought. But I could be wrong.
Could be.
And maybe you were right. Maybe she planned on killing the husband when he came back in and then killing herself. I don't know. Depressed mother gasses four children, which okay, 1953, super short after World War II. Maybe we could have used a different word than gases in this headline. Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Not a great choice.
What sells more papers?
I know, but come on.
Yeah.
So there's actually a picture of her being arrested in the car, and I just want to, I hope she's in hell.
I noted that he said that this is her, a picture of her being arrested in the police car with the detective. And the person next to her looks like a woman to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they never said anything about the detective being a woman, but, and it doesn't look like, even if the woman looks more like her mother, like it would be her mother than the detective.
It does. They share the same features. But they show him
pointing at that picture and that woman in the picture and saying her and the detective, which, whatever, but I would think that they would have made it more of a point of there being a female detective in 1953.
Especially in 1953.
Yeah.
Like, we could barely leave the house in 1953.
We were too busy taking care of our four kids.
Yeah. So, the best part of this story, listener, is that they didn't even get a conviction. She was determined to be insane, never stood trial. She went to a state psychiatric hospital where after 3 years... she was released and never had to pay for this crime. They could have at least had her do 4 years, one for each child she fucking killed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she really was psychotic, she needs to be getting help. I mean,
but don't release her then.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I don't know. People find their way to get through tests. You know what I mean? They know they know which answers to give.
Ed Kemper. He figured out what they were looking for.
Exactly.
So then the chief goes, well, the saddest part of this whole story is that she was deemed insane. Really, chief? That's the saddest part?
Yeah. I said I would argue that four kids losing their lives at the hand of their own mother is sadder than her not serving time for it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Is that the saddest part? I did have a note in there that I think is super duper sweet. So I'm in a bunch of mom groups and shocking. And you know how... if you don't know, when you breastfeed and you pump, it's called liquid gold because some moms really struggle with producing enough. Mm-hmm. And so if a mom is pumping and she's struggling and she puts the bottle or whatever down and she spills milk, a lot of times they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But there's a belief amongst breastfed moms that if you pumped milk and you spill it, that's going up to a baby in heaven, to feed a baby in heaven. So it's it's just a way to cope with this nutrition that you spilled.
Why are babies lacking food in heaven?
I think it's just a coping mechanism.
It doesn't make any sense, though.
They're not lacking food. Maybe it's like a treat. You know, like, oh, somebody spilled milk and I don't know.
I just don't know why, if you're in heaven, you need somebody on earth to give you breast milk, but...
maybe it just
doesn't make any
cheesy.
Sense. That's all I'm saying.
No, it doesn't.
If it makes you feel better, great. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And so Steve is like, are you kidding me? When he finds out that she didn't serve any trial.
Mm-hmm.
Or serve, you know, go to trial and never paid for it. And Steve, the sheriff's like, wish I was. No. So then we go to Amy Allen and she goes, something's happening here.
Yeah. And I immediately went, what? It is
ain't exactly clear.
And then I looked up the song because I wanted to put in here what the name of it was. And it's called For What It's Worth. I never would have guessed that was the title of the song. And it's by Buffalo Springfield, who I've heard of, but I didn't know that I knew any of their songs. But apparently I do. And then I put that in the notes and then I wrote to Megan, that song's older than me. So, like, you know, if you don't want to use it, don't. But she knew it.
I knew it. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody looks what's going down.
See, and I would have thought it was called something like... everybody look what's going down,
right?
Or something like
or something's
that. Not
happening
for what
here.
It's worth, yeah,
right.
But for what it's worth, I never would have guessed that.
No.
On a trivia question in a million
we
years,
we would have failed trivia for that one.
But we could sing it. And there is something for that.
There is something for that.
We should get
you might not want us singing it, but you know what? Just
gonna anyway.
That. We're gonna anyway. So then we're back to Amy, and she said she's getting a fight between two people. There's two people fighting. One is definitely a male, and it's not good. And I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I think somebody dies. It's not a good situation. I mean, shown a bunch of kids, something about an attack at night. It happened inside, and I see absolute horror over and over again. And that's where we end that segment. So then we go to the sketch.
Yep.
And she's like, I saw many disturbing things on my walk, but two stood out. And she goes, first, the old woman attacking a living child. And I'm like, great. Thanks, Amy, for drawing that. I can't wait to see it. And then the other person that she saw is the black shadow things trying to possess the child. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very obscure reference, but the sketch artist, there's a movie from the 80s called Uncle Buck, and it has John Candy in it.
Yeah.
And he comes, so his brother's wife, her father is sick, and they get a call in the middle of the night that she has to, they have to go be with her father because they think he might be dying, and they have three children. They just moved to this new place. And so the father calls Uncle Buck because they're completely out of options. And he has a girlfriend named Shanice. And this sketch artist looked like Shanice.
I am looking up Uncle Buck right now because Macaulay Culkin
was in it.
I know I saw the movie a million years ago, but I haven't seen it in recent memory. Gabby Hoffman is in that.
I don't know who that is.
I have a short little Gabby Hoffman story.
Let's hear it.
Shanice. Okay, that's Amy Madigan is the actress. Amy Madigan that plays
Shanice.
Does
that name sound familiar? Is that Kathy Madigan's sister?
No.
Probably not. Oh. Okay. See, doesn't the sketch artist look like her though?
Kind of, yeah.
Anything else in Diggin' True before we move on to the reveal?
Not for me.
All right, so it's the reveal. We have Jen and Gary are there. Steve's does the overview. This is her husband. Nobody's safe. They're scared. It's bad. They might have to leave. Blah, 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 blah. So then Amy talks about the deceased female she got who was laying face down. She got that she was in her 30s or 40s. She looked odd. She was in a pool, like she was a pool of her because it didn't seem like she had any bones. A lot of pain and despair, something about her being a mother, but she didn't have any kids and she had a broken heart. And then Steve's like, I know you didn't get a lot, but what you got reminds me of a woman I came across in research.
I'm like,
not a lot, Steve.
What did you want? Her email address? She gave you everything.
What do you want? Her social security number?
It's very clearly the same woman. Yeah. He does that a lot. I notice. He's like, well, I'm not going on very much. I'm like, Steve.
And she's like, she was blonde. She was 45. She was born in 1932. And Steve's like, God, I just wish I had more. But I think what you're
what you're talking about is this blonde girl that I caught from 1932.
So Birdie Wells, we talk about her. This is the woman who drowned herself and her 3-year-old. Moving on from there.
Yeah.
So then Steve goes, I'm just curious if you think Birdie could be the woman you might have seen. And Amy's like, yeah, that's a big possibility, Steve.
She didn't say it snotty like that, but that's
I'm
what
I'm saying it.
That's how I would have said
it. She's like, yeah, that's a possibility. And I'm like, yeah, you think? So then the next person she ran into was a male. This is the guy who's constantly moving around. She couldn't see him very well because he was always moving. And she said, the way I saw him was a shadow person or a shadow figure. And that's when Jen is going, I see him. He stands out in the yard and just watches you. And he doesn't stop moving. And then Amy said, because of that, the constantly moving and the manic energy, he can affect electricity in the house, like TVs and stuff. And that's when Steve goes, Gary, tell her what's going on with the electric. And Gary's like, well, we leave the house. Everything is off. And he said, we come home. Lights in the attic are on, the TV's on, the radio's on, everything is on that wasn't on before. And I'm like, well, maybe the ghosts are just lonely, Gary. Yeah.
Maybe they're having a dance party while you were gone.
Do you know how scary it is to be in a house alone when everything's off, Gary?
It's really quiet.
Maybe they were afraid of themselves.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so Amy's like, wow. And she said, you might when you're around and feel like emotional swings. And that's when Jen is like, it's a struggle for her to just be happy. She said, it's changed my personality. Gary says, I'll leave work in a great mood, come home, and all of a sudden I'm angry at everybody. And then that's when Amy said, well, he can also make you feel dizzy and anxious and nauseous and drained. Oh my. And Jen's like, my energy's gone. She said, I sleep all day, feel like I haven't slept. Jen also has anxiety, panic attacks, and to which I was like, well, you never mentioned this before. But then she said they put her on meds and nothing works. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So it is legit.
Yeah.
Because you know how some people, they'll be like, well, what about panic attacks? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I have those. And Steve's like, you never mentioned that. But yeah. This, if they put her on meds, like, you know, seriously.
They probably did mention it. They just they didn't make it for our viewing pleasure. So.
And so Steve's like, could this be this guy? And Amy's like, yeah, it's that guy. And then Steve's like, do you know who he might have been when he was alive? And she said, well, due to the fact that he was constantly moving, she couldn't see him well. But she said, thinking he's, you know, 30 years of age, but mentally seems like he was functioning at a much younger level, might have had some mental illness, not in a good place when he died. And she said, there's also a female who's here and there's some kind of connection between them. And she's not sure what. And he goes, well, you know, I got a pretty good idea of who you're talking about. And I'm like, okay. So earlier when she gave you everything, you were like, God, I just don't know. But here she gave you like the least amount of information. He's 30, mentally unstable, and there's a woman. And he's like, oh, my God, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah. I got a pretty good idea. Yep.
I got a pretty good idea based on the two pieces of information you gave me that are very vague. It's gotta be Rudolph. Red-nosed reindeer.
Yeah.
And she said, and so he's like, I got a pretty good idea, but I want to wait until you tell us about the woman. Yeah. And so she said she's the most dominant dead person here. She was in her 40s or 50s. She was from another country, very religious. Amy also got that she was married, lost all of her money, and then it got worse for her because her husband died, and apparently it was a horrible death. And then she said after he died, that was boom. You know, that was it. Everything's gone. And then that's when he talks about Rudolph, the Hungarian royalty. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the fact that he took his dead brother's girlfriend, Rosalia Zimmerman, moved here. She was Jewish. He was Catholic. Nobody liked it. So then he's like, do you think that's who you saw? And Amy said, yes. And Steve said, so you said the dead woman, his wife, was dominant. And she and Amy's like, yep, she's really bad news. She's very protective of the house. She's extremely angry at the living here. And one of the things that I saw her do was sharpening her fingernails and scratching living people. And I want to know, how does a ghost or anybody really sharpen your fingernails? Is it like one of those grinding stones and you're just like got your fingernails on it?
Do you know
what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I do not know the answer, though.
I don't want to think about it. The fact that I am thinking about it is upsetting.
I don't know. It is. It's a spooky visual, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, I don't really understand why ghosts do anything since they're just
fair.
Vapor.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
Whatever.
You know, so... and scratching living people. So here's where Jen talks about both her and Joseph wake up with scratches and bruises. And then Amy said the other thing is that she died from some kind of an infection. And when you're around the living people, or when she's around the living people, she can make you feel like that. And so Amy said, I was concerned about people developing just random illnesses. And like you remember earlier, Jen, she's sore. She gets fevers. They can't find anything medically wrong with her. Here, she said, they'll give her an antibiotic. And she said she has to take 3-4 rounds of it before mm-hmm. anything works. Gary seconds that and said every time she gets a cold, it almost always turns into pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And she saw her, Amy saw her in the blue room, which is Joseph's room. And she did have a sketch done. And it's horrendous.
Yeah.
It's a woman with like a, it almost looked like she was like a pilgrim with like the kerchief on and she's standing behind a boy in a bed and she has her arms around his neck. It looks like she's resting her hands like on his, you know how if you're in a relationship with someone you might come up behind them and like wrap your arms around them. Mm-hmm. She's doing that, but it's not loving.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And then Jen goes, believe me now, to Gary and starts crying. And I'm like, the men never fucking believe.
I know. This guy did, though. I mean, he seemed to.
He did.
I thought it was interesting that she said that because he did support her throughout all of the interviews that we saw.
But that's
we
the interviews.
But
people, and I'm not saying this, but people tend to put on a different face when they're in front of people than they do behind closed doors. Sure. I'm not saying that's what he did, because I agree with Amy. He seemed very much like on board during the interviews.
It's possible he just didn't believe that his son was being strangled.
That could be. Or that is.
And that's what she was referring to when she said, do you believe me now?
And so Steve goes, what is she doing to him? And Amy's like, strangling him. Yeah. And Steve goes, I know it's tough to look at. And Jen's like, I can't. And so he goes, let's just turn it over. And I'm like, God, that's sweet. Steve, why do you turn into such a poopy head?
A poopy head.
Sorry for my language. It's a family show. I know. Then we got Steve again, who said, yeah, thank you. Then we have Steve, who's like, I hate to even ask what else. And then Amy said, there's something here that has me much more concerned, which to be more concerned about something other than somebody strangling a child, you know it's going to be bad.
Yep.
And Steven's like, yeah, more than this? And I'm like, valid question, Steven. And she said, yeah. She said, there were these entities that I had encountered on my walk, which it's never good when she says entities, because you know she doesn't refer to spirits as entities. She refers to them as the people or a man or a woman.
Yeah.
So she said they look like small shadow figures or almost like ghosts, like if somebody had a child and then dropped a black sheet on the child. So you know, like how kids pretend to be ghosts and they have the sheet over it. That's when Jen says, I see them everywhere around the house. And she's like, you know, putting a blanket over him. And Amy said they make people sick. And she said, when I came into contact with them upstairs in the blue room, which I believe is Joe's room, she said the person living there would have bouts of severe nausea, if not vomiting. And Steve's like, well, have you noticed that with Joe? And Gary's like, yeah, he'll come downstairs and he'll ask for a container to throw up.
And I'm like, what's wrong with the toilet?
Isn't that
where everybody throws up, is the toilet? I mean, well, if you can get there in time. But if you can come downstairs and ask for a container, why don't you just go to the bathroom?
Right, right. That's great. Great point. And so Amy said living people would believe they're having nightmares, but it would actually, it's due to the people, the little things, the little demon things influencing them. Also, Amy said they can manipulate living when they're awake. She said, I saw this little child and his personality completely changed. And she said, it gave me chills seeing this vision because it was like you knew it wasn't the kid anymore. And that's when Gary comes in and says, that's one of our biggest things with Joe. And he said, sometimes I feel like he's not in there. And he said, I don't want to use the word possessed, but it's the feeling that I get. And then Amy's like, I had a sketch done. And we're like, great.
Great.
So it's a little boy or a boy in a bed. And it's like these blob things around his bed. But it's almost like they've surrounded it. So there's one in each corner of the bed. So there's four around him. And he's just laying there sleeping.
Yeah. And there's actually only three of them. But
I'm assuming that there's one like, because it looks like they're, I just made an assumption in my head, but Amy's right, they weren't, there's not three of them there.
And they kind of have a outline, like they look like nesting dolls to me.
They do, you know, yes, that's a real dolls? yes they do.
But I can also see how they are. I like how the artist made them like the shape of the being, but then there's like another layer on the outside that's sheer that you can see through, that so that kind of gives the idea of like how Amy said it looked like a child wearing a sheet.
Yes. Yep.
So I think that was really cool.
That was really cool. Yeah. She was a good, Shanice was a good artist. I don't know if that's her name.
It's probably not a real name.
Probably not a real name. And so Steve's like, what the hell are these things? And Amy says, I believe that they are a type of demonic entity. They're very bad. To which, like, what demonic entity is good, Amy? Yeah, but I get it. Like, she's just reiterating that demons are bad.
Yeah.
And Steve's like, well, what about Joseph? What do they want from him? And she said they want to possess him. And Jen's like, I'm always afraid of Joseph doing something to hurt himself or somebody else. And then this is where it gets really scary. She said, I also saw those things in the room across the hall. And that's when Steve and Jen kind of simultaneously go Samantha's room. And Amy said they already had her from basically when she was born. Amy said from Earth, but basically when she was born, that's why the activity has gotten worse. And Jen's just like freaking the fuck out because obviously. And Steve goes, is she possessed? And Amy said, yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, Amy said, there's literally one inside of her all the time.
Oh,
which
God.
That poor sweet baby girl. So then we get to Steve and he's like, so Jen, you called us in because you thought the kids were in danger. And I don't know if it was mother's tuition or what, but based on what Amy told us, you are 100% right. Mm-hmm. And so now she said, now he's like, now the question is there a way to save your children or do you need to pack up? And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy. And luckily, there is a way for them to mm-hmm. get rid of everything. They won't mm-hmm. have to move. So they're going to start with the dead man, who's Rudolph, the guy that shot himself. And so getting him out of the house, they're going to utilize tar water. And so Amy pulls out a little vial of tar water and she said it forms a lasting barrier that prevents the dead from entering your home. Then they're all at the same time that they remove him, they'll remove the dead lady who's Rudolph's wife, Rosalia. Mm-hmm. And so for her, you're going to need a medium, somebody who's Jewish and who can come and talk to her and specifically tell her she's got to go and she's going to move on quick. Mm-hmm. The demons will need an exorcism for that, for Sam, and it could be very traumatic, which I'm sure it will be traumatic,
yeah.
and it'll take several meetings. And Gary brought up a good point. He's like,
"Yeah,
how do I explain this to her?" And I'm like, that's solid. She's six.
Yeah.
And Amy had a good response, and she's like, you don't really need to tell her. She said, for all she knows, he's just going to be doing prayers for her. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that's good. Like, you don't want to scare a six-year-old.
Yeah.
She already is.
And hopefully it won't be like the scene in The Exorcist, you know, where there's, you know, screaming and hair flying and,
yeah.
you know, seizures and.
Yeah, I refuse to see that movie.
It's scary. Pretty fucking, you would not do well watching
nope.
that movie. It is very scary.
I would never sleep again. Yeah. Yeah. And so Steve's like, you're saying an exorcism for Sam, and Amy says yes. And then Steve goes, well, what about Joseph? And Amy said, well, after Sam, you do Joseph. Mm-hmm. And then Steve asked the parents, well, how do you think Joe's going to react to this? And Gary's like, well, I think he's going to feel vindicated and embrace the fight to get it taken care of, which after meeting him, I 1,000% agree.
Yep. Yep.
And the biggest concern for him was his siblings.
Right.
So, you know, if you tell him that there's a chance he would hurt them, mm-hmm. I think that would be all it would take. You won't even need to tell him that he's in danger. You could just spin it like, well, there's a chance that these things could make you hurt somebody like your siblings. And that would be all it would take.
Yeah.
He was so focused on his family. It was so sweet.
It was.
And then Amy said, okay, once the children and all the spirits have been taken care of and moved on, you're going to need to bless the entire house as well as the land. And every year you are going to have the land and the house blessed. And Steve's like, so the exorcism and blessing how will get rid of the little demons. And Amy said, yep. And so once everything is done, the kids are exorcised, the house is blessed. She said, everything will be good and it'll be done. And so Steve said, when we talked to Jen, he said, you broke my heart. All you wanted was for your kids to be safe and to save your marriage. And Amy's given you a map on how to do that. So are you going to do what she does? And Jen's like, absolutely. There's no question in my mind. And you can just hear the relief in Jen's voice. Like you hear, we have an answer, you know? Yeah. And so they followed her advice and the activity has ended. And that I
got chills when I read that.
Yes.
I literally was like, oh, good. They did what they were. Oh, it ended. Literally, I'm still feeling it now too.
Same. I got
shivers. I was like, I don't think we've ever seen, at least not in recent memory, where they have done everything they were supposed to do and everything is gone
and
now.
Every ended. Yeah.
I don't think we've seen that before.
It's usually been it's slowed down or the activity has decreased, but it hasn't been it's ended in a while. And
right.
I'm so happy for them.
I know.
Because
I know.
They were just like your stereotypical American family.
Yep.
Just trying to live their lives and were plagued by these literal demons.
Yeah.
So
And something that could have ended that family situation because, you know, all the mood changes and the fighting and the possibility of violence and all of that,
mm-hmm.
which was not, I don't want to say preventable. I suppose if they lived in a different house, it wouldn't have happened. But it's fixable. It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to go to therapy for however many years and figure out why we're fighting. No, it was something else that was easy enough to explain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it was easy doing all these things that they had to do that Amy told them to do.
But it was doable.
But it did it, and it helped.
Yep.
And it
yep.
at least ended that. Hopefully, that was the cause of all of this, and they're happy and healthy now.
Yep.
Because we really liked them.
Oh my, I loved really them. Sweet. The second Jen got on the screen, I was like, she's good. She's a good
I know, I felt that with her too. I felt like I knew her. She kind of looks like somebody I must know or something, but I felt I was like,
if I met her outside, I bet we would be friends.
Yeah.
She just seemed cool.
Yeah.
So I'm very glad that they were able to.
Yeah. So Jen or Gary or Joseph, if you're out there and you want to come and talk to us about your experience on the Dead Files, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I'll Joseph's probably 22 now. If it was 18, that's 7 years ago. Yeah, he'll be 22.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks, Megan. That was a good choice and good. Thanks for guiding us through that.
That was a good one. It was a good one. It was the child death. Yeah. Was hard.
I started watching it and I'm like, uh-oh.
And then it just kept coming.
Yeah, I know.
It just kept coming.
I know.
Well, I hope those mothers are in hell. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I don't believe there's a hell, but I think this is hell.
That's fair. Yeah. Oh, they're just in 2025 America.
Yeah. No, I just mean, I don't mean that. I mean,
I know.
I feel that way. But no, I just mean my sense of it all is when you die, you get your life review. And then if you are ascended enough and you've learned all the lessons that spirit can learn, you get to stay in a happy place or do whatever you want to do. If you haven't, you're going back down and you're going to try again.
Sure.
And that's what I mean by this being hell.
Yeah.
Is hell. Whereas I don't think it's hell. I mean, unless you have a really horrible life.
You're saying that there's no hell, but you have to go back and try to be better.
Until you're better. Yeah.
Until you're good. Yep. I get it. Yep. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
All right. Thanks. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us.
Thanks for joining
this
us.
Little recap. And we will see you next week.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.